And so today we're starting our new series, which is called Soul Food. Someone look at your neighbor and say, Soul Food. Now, if you're hungry, just push that hunger pain down. I promise I'll try and preach succinctly, and so we can get you out of here and get you to your meal. But I want to talk to this whole series, Soul Food, and the title of my message today is A Prosperous Soul. And so if you want to go with me to the scriptures, we're going to go to 3 John, verse 2, and this is going to be our core text for this series. We're going to spend the next 6 weeks kind of taking a deep dive into this topic in this area. And so let's read the Word of God, and let's see what God will say to us from it. 3 John, verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, in laying a foundation or kicking off this series today, I actually just want to take some time to break down this verse. And I want to take it word by word, piece by piece, and just start to extrapolate some of the truth of what God is saying through it. The first word I want us to focus on here is the word beloved. Everyone say beloved. Now, this is obviously the Apostle John writing. This is a term of endearment that he is sharing with people. But it also is a powerful term because when we study historically, we know that the Apostle John is also known as the Apostle of Love. He had a deep revelation, probably the deepest and strongest revelation of the love of God. And it permeated all of his writings. And so just as we're looking at this verse, as we're looking forward to this fall season, as we're looking into this new series and what God wants to do, the first thing I want to encourage you is that in this season, it's a season to go deeper in the love of God. It's a season to go deeper in your revelation of and your understanding of God's unconditional love for you. Of that song we've been singing a lot recently, the Corey Asbury one, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That is the foundation of everything else. You know, I don't have the scripture reference, but if we would go to when Jesus was baptized, when he was starting his earthly ministry, he lived for 30 years on the earth, but now he was stepping into his earthly ministry. And so he went to John the Baptist to be baptized. He said, this is the right thing to do. John didn't even want to do it because he said, you're the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. And Jesus said, no, it's proper. Do it. So he baptized him. And when he came up, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And it said, the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, it's interesting. I've always looked at that and thought, you know, God could have said so many different things. God could have said, here is the Messiah of the world. Listen to him. He could have said, this is me manifesting in the flesh, the worker of miracles. I mean, there's so many things that would have been technically correct. And yet the Father said the first word that I'm going to speak over you formally as you step in your ministry is that you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And in that same way, family, I want to encourage you as we are moving forward in what God has for us. There's great things he has for us as a church. There's great things that he has for you. Some of you, I don't know, maybe you get tired of me saying that, but I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep encouraging you. I'm going to keep challenging you. But what you want to do is you want to get your roots so deep down in the love of the Father that he has for you. No matter what, you know that God loves you. And it's a season to go deep and understand that we are the beloved of God. Someone tell your neighbor, say, I'm the beloved of God. And then look at somebody else and tell them, you're the beloved of God too. There is something that changes, and it sounds so simple, but there is something that shifts in our life when we are rooted and grounded in the love of God. And so in this season, first and foremost, we want to go deep in the love of God. That's why I'm excited about encounters, because encounters are places where you go deep in the love of God. And let me put a plug in, because the ladies are already in motion, but for guys, because I know there might be some guys listening, you're like, I don't know, am I going to go on that weekend? I'm not really sure. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Come and join us as we come together, and we go deep in God, and we go deep in the love of God for us. But see, we want to go deep in his love for us. Beloved. The second thing in this verse I see, it says, Beloved, I pray. Everyone say pray. The second thing I want to encourage us in this season is it's the call once again to go deeper in our prayer lives before the Lord. It's the call once again for you and I to go deep in the place of prayer. Now, this is not something new I'm saying to you. This is something that in many ways we've been talking about all year. But it's just stirring up in my heart once again. The times that we are coming into, the times and the years that are going to be in front of us, the call that God has for your life, the call that God has on this church is going to happen and is going to be walked out in the right way when we are a praying people. Guys, I want to encourage you this morning. The devil is not necessarily too concerned about a big church. The devil is not necessarily too concerned about a well-known church. The devil is not necessarily too concerned about a popular church. The devil is not necessarily too concerned about a church that has lots of finances, especially if they just keep them to themselves. What the devil is afraid of and what he is going to fight with everything he has is a praying church. And he is going to fight praying believers. And he's going to do everything he can to get you distracted, to get you pulled away, to get you moved off being a praying believer first and foremost. And so I want to encourage you, just as the Apostle John was praying for these that he was writing to, he said, I pray. And I'm thankful for his prayer. I'm thankful for the prayers of people who prayed for me. But God is calling us to step up, to go deeper in prayer. There are times that are coming that unless we are a praying church, we're not even going to be able to make it. Guys, I want to encourage you. Shallow Christianity is not going to cut it. And your depth of Christianity comes when you're in the Word. Your depth of Christianity comes when you are giving yourself to prayer. And so I want to encourage us, it's a time to push deeper in prayer. We've got All Church Prayer, All Third Friday, coming up in just a couple weeks. It's another opportunity to dive deep in prayer. The third word I want us to see from this is, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Everyone say prosper. I want to encourage you in this season, as we look forward, it is God's will for you to prosper. See, this was the Apostle John who knew the heart of Jesus. By the time he was writing this letter, he was very senior in his ministry. He outlived all the other apostles. And so he's writing this letter. He knew the heart of God. He knew God's heart for people. He knew the will of God. And he's saying, I'm praying for you that you may prosper. And I want to encourage you today. God wants you to prosper. Now, when I use this word prosper, there may be a few of you, because of some bad experiences, some weird late night televangelists, or some weird church situation, that word's a little tainted for you. But I want to encourage you today, let's move aside all the filtering that comes from other mistakes. Let's just go right to the Word of God, which says to us, I want you to prosper. What does prospering actually mean? Well, prosper means this, to favor. How many know God has given us favor and God favors us? There is favor in prosperity. To render successful or to succeed. God's not in this so you'll fail. Some of us have this picture of God that he's just up there in heaven, like playing divine jokes on us and then laughing when we fall flat on our face. No, that's not our heavenly Father at all. He wants you to succeed. Whatever he assigns you, he calls you to win. He calls you to overcome. He calls you to succeed. That's what this season is all about. God wants, it means to grow or to increase. How many of you would just stay, like today, just say, I'm taking hold of that. This is a season of growth. This is a season of increase for me. Come on, that's what we want. What are we going to do? Just stay the same? Go into neutral? Just park it? No, God says, I want you to grow. I want you to increase. This is all involved in prosperity. It also means to thrive or to make gain. See, guys, it's not just a money thing. It's in every area of our lives. And God is saying to us, and I just want to encourage you, even as we're talking about this Soul Food series of Prosper Soul, God's will is for you to prosper. Someone tell your neighbor, God's will is for me to prosper. Now, does this mean that everything is perfect and we never have challenges or problems or issues? Of course not. There's going to be battles. There's going to be challenges. You know, you can't have a testimony without a test. You can't have a victory without a battle. Sometimes we want the victories without the battle. We want the testimonies without the test. There's going to be stuff that comes against us. But if God is for us, who can stand against us? And God says, I'm with you and I'm going to go with you. I'm walking with you and I'm leading you to a place of victory. That is God's will, that we would prosper. I love this next line. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Someone say, in all things. Now, this is simple. It's straightforward, but this is where God wants you to prosper. Where? In all things. Not just in some things, not just in a few things, not just in a couple areas, but God says, I want to do a holistic work in your life in this season if you'll allow me. God wants to go, obviously some areas are going well, but you know, there's areas where there's struggles, some areas where it's not going so well, some areas where it's not working out quite as well as you would like it to. God says, give me access there. Let me there. I want to come in and do a total home renovation. I want to come in and do a shift and a change in all things. Somebody say in all things again. And so you see, God wants you. And again, does this mean we'll never have battles or struggles? No, it definitely doesn't mean that. We're going to have battles. We're going to have struggles. But in Christ, we win. We overcome. And so if you're in the middle of a battle today, I just want to encourage you, win in Jesus' name. Just stick it out. Keep going. God's going to take you forward. And so we see the verse says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. And it also says, and be in health. To be in health, not as God's will. And they're really tied together. Because if we understand the holistic nature of this word, to prosper, then what is prosperity in our physical body? It's health. It's strength. God wants us to be in health. And I just want to encourage you in this season that even there's some of you that have had some ongoing battles or challenges in your health. Maybe you've got a little discouraged about it. Let's stand together. Let's rally around people in this church family. And let's stand on this promise from God that says, hey, I believe you. I'm praying that you will prosper and you will be in health. That is God's will for you. That is God's plan for you. Put all this out of your mind. Anything that says you, well, maybe God just wants me to keep this. Maybe God just doesn't want to heal me. Put that aside today. This is God's will, that you would be in health. I love this. Health means to be state of free from injury or illness, or to be in sound physical or mental condition. I love, see guys, God's will is that we would prosper and we would be in health. And I want you to take that as a word as we go into this fall season. I want you to stand on that and just say, God, you said that I'm going to prosper and be in health. And so I just declare over my life, any area right now where there is not prosperity in my life, I'm believing you for it to begin to manifest. Any area where there's not health, I'm believing you for you to manifest. And really, guys, if we go a little further in it, what is this life? We talk about this life of prosperity, this life of health. This is the life that God wants to give. Let me show it to you. How many of you guys here have seen the movie Overcomer? Anyone seen the movie Overcomer? Okay, I got one or two. Okay, we went this week, we took the kids. It's a faith-based film. I really encourage you to go and watch it. It is a sermon in the movie theater, except you're not going to realize it's a great story. It's great. But part of that, without giving too much away, there's a young lady, and she comes to the Lord, and she is challenged to go into the book of Ephesians and to write out who she is in Christ. And there's this element of the movie that's talking about, I am who he says I am. And I want to encourage you, one of the words over your life for this season is you need to declare and say, I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I'm going to do what he says I'm going to do. It's not going to be just about my feelings or about my circumstances, about my situation, but God, I am who you say I am. I have who what you say I have. I'm going to do what you say I'm going to do. And what is this that the scriptures teach us about? Let me go. Now, what I've actually done, I really got inspired. So your second page of notes I took from Joyce Meyer's ministry, and it actually is just a list, 2 pages long, of who you are in Jesus Christ and who he says you are. So let me tell you who you are today. Let me tell you what you have in him. Because of Christ, you are complete in him who is the head over all rule and authority of every angelic and earthly power. You are alive with Christ. You are free from the law of sin and death. You are far from oppression, and you will not live in fear. Some of you just need to take that one right today. I do not live in fear. You are born of God. The evil one does not touch you. You are holy and without blame before him in love. You have the mind of Christ. You have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The Spirit of God, who is greater than the enemy in the world, lives inside of you. You have received abundant grace and gift of righteousness and reign in life.
life through Jesus Christ. You have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of your heart have been enlightened that you might know the hope of having life in Christ. You have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will do miraculous things through you. You have authority or power over the enemy in this world. You are renewed in the knowledge of God and no longer want to live in the old ways or nature because you've accepted Christ. You are merciful. You do not judge others. You forgive quickly. You do this by God's grace, and he blesses your life. God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, you live by faith in God, and you extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy. You can do whatever you need to do in life through Christ Jesus, who gives you strength. You are chosen by God, who called you out of darkness of sin and in the light of the life of Christ, so you can proclaim the excellence and greatness of who he is. You are born again, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for God's purpose through the living and everlasting word of God. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for you to walk in. You are a new creation in Christ. You are in Christ, dead to sin. Your relationship to sin is broken, and you are alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him. You are the light of God. The light of God's truth has shone in your heart and given you knowledge of salvation through Christ. As you hear God's word, you do what it says, and you are blessed in your actions. Are you done yet? Because I'm not done yet. Furthermore, you are a joint heir with Christ. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You have overcome the enemy of your soul by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You have everything you need to live a godly life, and you are equipped to live in his divine nature. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. You are the righteousness of God. You have a right standing with him in Jesus Christ. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You belong to him. You are the head and not the tail. You only go up and not down in life as you trust and obey God. You are the light of the world because he is the light of the world. You are chosen by God, forgiven and justified through Christ. You have a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. You are redeemed, forgiven of all your sins and made clean through the blood of Christ. You have been rescued from the domain and power of darkness and brought into God's kingdom. You are redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. Your life is rooted in Christ, and you overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done for you. You are called to live a holy life by the grace of God and declare his praise in the world. You are healed and whole in Jesus. You are saved by God's grace. You are raised up with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. You are greatly loved by God. You are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You humbly submit yourself to God, and the devil flees because you resist him in Jesus' name. You press on every day to fulfill God's plan for your life because you live to please him. You are not ruled by fear because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he gives you power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. Christ lives in you. You live by faith, and his love is for you. That is the life that we're talking about. That is the life that we walk. That is the prosperous and the healthy life. Now, for some of you, because if you're wrestling, guys, this is all scripture. Like, everything I just said to you is right there, chapter and verse. This is who you are. This is what you have. This is what he's given you. And so in this season of soul food, my prayer is that what is on these pages, and that's part of why I took the time. I mean, it didn't take me that long. I copied and pasted it in. But that is what took the time to say, I want to get this to you because I want this to get off the pages and get into our minds and get into our hearts, because this is the life that we are called to live. This is the life. This is what having prospering and being health looks like. It's not about some cheap gimmick to get more money. It is about this total life prosperity that God has called us to live. And if we are living below this in any way, there's no condemnation. But there should be a righteous anger that rises up in your heart that says, wait a minute, I'm settling for less than what Jesus died for. I need to start to believe for a shift and a change. I'm believing for this prosperity and this health in every area of my life. Amen. Come on, someone tell your neighbor, I'm prospering. Tell them I'm in health. And I want to encourage you, even by putting this out, get this word. Get this stuff. Meditate on it. Get it in you. This is the life that we're called to live. Now, I could finish here. I could do an altar call, but the verse wasn't done. Right? Because there's the last section to the verse. And the last section to this verse starts, even as, or just as, which is an interesting clause in the statement, because what it's suggesting to us is whatever is about to come up is going to be directly connected to the first part coming to pass. Because I just want to ask, as I was preaching myself happy through that list of all the things we have and are in Christ, did anyone besides me notice some gaps between what it says and what I'm experiencing right now? Anyone maybe saw a couple of those things, said, oh man, that would be so nice? Anyone struggle a bit to believe? And see, it's interesting because that's really what we want to go over this next 6 weeks and beyond. Right? Because what the Word of God says here, our foundation, is it says, just as your soul prospers. So God's saying, beloved, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health. I've given you this life in Christ, but it is going to happen in a direct connection to the level that you allow me to work prosperity in your soul. In other words, all this is here for you. All this is here for you in Christ, but the key to unlocking it. You know, it's kind of like, anyone here have a bank account? I hope we all have bank accounts, because God, if he's, you need a bank account. But you know, I can have money in my bank account, but I have here my card. And I need my card. The money's there. It might be there for me, but I cannot access it. Now, obviously, today there's more options than ever. I could use my phone. I can use my Apple Watch. I can use whatever. But there still needs to be a point of access. And so what God's saying to us, he's saying, listen, prosperity is there for you in Christ. Health is there for you in Christ, but it's going to be directly connected to the prosperity of your soul. In other words, if you don't allow me to work prosperity in your soul realm, you're never going to be able to experience it in the natural realm. So if I'm looking at my life and going, oh, there's some gaps here, maybe there's a lot of gaps, I need to first look at what's going on in my soul. I need to deal with that. And so that's why the title of this message is A Prosperous Soul. Because God says, I want to work in your soul. Will you let me work in your soul? Because all this is yours in Christ. But if you don't let me work in your soul, there's a lot that you're going to leave on the table. There's a lot that you're not going to be able to walk in, even though it's right there for you, because you're going to prosper and you're going to be in health even as your soul prospers. And if you will let me work in your soul and let me do this in your soul, then you will see these things begin to manifest outside in all these other areas of your life. But if you won't let me work in your soul, or you just don't understand how to let me work in your soul and transform and change you in that way, you are never going to walk in the fullness of what I have for you. And so the key hinge that brings this verse all together is it says, just as your soul prospers. Now I'm going to get close to landing this plane. Pastor Samuel can come back and join me in just a second. See, the first thing then we've got to define is, what is our soul? Right? What is he talking about? Because if I don't know what my soul is, I have no idea how to see my soul prosper. What's it talking about? So how do I do that? And so here's really simply, and we're going to build on this over the coming weeks. But when the Bible talks about your soul, it is talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's actually what it's referring to. I don't have this reference for you, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about that God wants to sanctify you spirit, soul, and body. The Bible teaches that we are a triune being. It's a picture of God who is three but is also one. And in the same way, we are a triune being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Your soul and your spirit are intertwined together in a mysterious way. That is what the Bible talks about, your heart. It's talking about the inner man. It's talking about your spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions. See, we all have bodies, but when we die, we don't take our bodies with us. Right? When someone dies, their body's there. Oh, they're dead. Well, no, they're not there anymore. You know, like where's so-and-so? You know, well, they're over in the cemetery. No, they're not in the cemetery. Their spirit and their soul has left. Their body is in the cemetery now. And so in the same way, this is the breakdown that God's given us. So he says, your prosperity, your health, your walking out your purpose, your calling, all these things that I have for you are going to be directly connected to the prosperity of your soul. Or if I can put it really simply, you got to get it inside before it shows up outside. But if you'll get it inside, no demon in hell can stop it from showing up outside. But see, the key is what a lot of us do is we try and focus on looking good on the outside or fixing it. And God says, no, I want to get to your soul. So let's just break this down for a moment or two, and we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. My first question for you is, how's your mind today? Because the first part of our soul is our mind. God wants to work in our mind, and if I could be a little more specific, God wants to work on our thinking. So I'm going to look at your neighbor and tell them God wants to work on your thinking. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I love the New Living Translation. It says, be transformed by changing the way you think. The first area as we go on this journey together, God wants to deal with us about our thought patterns. He wants to deal with us how we're thinking. I'm not talking about some feel-good, kind of just positive thinking message. Just think good thoughts, I think I can. No, I'm talking about God says, I want to get in there, and I want to change, because so much, let me explain it this way, so much in the kingdom is directly connected to what you believe. Well, what you believe comes from what you think. And so God says, listen, there's so much that's tied up in there, and so many of us, what's holding us back is the way we're thinking. And so in this season, if we really get down to it, God says, I want to work on your thought life. I want to work on the way you think about me. I want to work on the way you think about yourself. I want to work on the way you think about your marriage, the way you think about your children, the way you think about your calling, the way you think about your purpose. I want to work on how you think. Someone tell your neighbor, he's going to work on your thoughts. The second part is it's our mind. So God wants to do work. And there's some of us in here, the main thing the Lord's going to go after over these next 6 weeks and beyond, if you'll let him, is going to be your thinking. And you can already feel it already. The conviction's coming on because God's like, we got to start talking about your thought life. Because there's a whole commentary that goes on all the time behind the scenes. And you know in your mind, God says, I want to work in your thought life. But the second thing is our will. Do we have any strong-willed people in the building? I see some people pointing at others. A husband on the front row who I won't mention just pointed at his wife. But here's what I found. Some of us are more strong-willed than others, but all of us do have a will. And some of us are kind of like that determined, digging our heels kind. But there's other of us who are real passive-aggressive about it. We smile, we're really sweet, but we're just like, I'm not going, I'm not doing it, I'm not going to go. And see, God's saying to us, will you yield and submit your will truly to me? See, what happens is a lot of us came to Jesus for what we can get, which in itself isn't necessarily bad right off the top, but you got to mature beyond that. But if we just park out there, we never move very far into maturing in things of the kingdom. Because as this verse says here, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark, and it's actually 14:26. I had a little bit of a typo there. But he prayed, and he was saying to the Lord, if there's any other way, take this cup away. But then he said, yet not my will. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. How many of us truly pray that prayer on a regular basis? And yet, how many of us go to God and say, God, here's my will, and here's how I want it done? And some of us even have specific timelines of what we want it done and how we want it done. And yet, the prospering of our soul is where we're saying, first and foremost, God, you're working my thinking. But number two, my will is truly becoming submitted to Jesus Christ. If I am willful and I am doing things my own way, I am never going to walk in what God has for me. I'm never going to be able to walk in the fullness of what God has. I got to stop trying to do it my way and say, Lord, I want to do it your way. Someone say, I'll do it your way. I was laughing, thinking about this in first service even. How many of you ever had someone in your life and they just didn't want to listen? Maybe you were that person who just didn't want to listen. I've walked with some people at different times, and man, they're blowing themselves up. And you keep trying to tell them, listen, just do it this way, and they don't want to listen. And sometimes I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with this person. I'm done trying to help them because they don't want to listen. And then I laugh because sometimes I hear the Holy Spirit very quietly inside say, now you know how I feel sometimes. Because we keep trying to do it my way. You know, God, like, he's the creator of the universe. Why are we trying to tell him how to do things? Why are we so convinced on what we feel needs to happen?
You know, my son and I are having a, he's getting older, and we're having these great random conversations. So, you know, light conversation away the church. He looks over at me from the front seat because we're riding, and my wife and Shiloh were in the other car, and he said, "Dad, did you know that it takes a supercomputer 40 minutes to break down one human thought?" And I kind of look at him, like, "Really? Where'd you learn that?" And I don't know, he listed some brain game TV show or something like that. And he goes, "And did you know that we have like a billion thoughts running around in our minds?" He said, "And God created all that, Dad." Like, wow, think of God created. I kind of sat there and went, wow, yeah. Like, think God created all that. And yet we want to argue with him about what we think needs to happen or how it needs to happen. Or this is a, see, but the prosperous souls, when you come into a place where you say, okay, God, I'm truly yielded to you. And so for some of us in this season, God says, "I'm going after your will because I love you. And I'm tired of seeing you blow yourself up." Right? So God's saying, "Will you yield to me truly? Will you yield to my leadership? Will you stop using me as a get out of hell free card and truly enter into a relationship and truly begin to walk with me?" So God wants to deal with our mind. He wants to deal with our will. And last but not least, God wants to, for many of us, God wants to talk to us about our emotions. Somebody say emotions. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Another way I like to say that I think is theologically correct, is we walk by faith and not by our feelings. But guys, there's many of us in here today, and we walk by feelings and not by faith. And God says, if I'm going to do what I need to do in my life, if you're going to do what you need to do, I need to get you off the feeling foundation. Now, feelings aren't bad. Feelings are not evil or wicked. They're good things that God has given to us. But they are terrible leaders and wonderful followers. And if you're being led by your feelings everywhere, you're going to be up, down, all over the place. You're never going to have the stability to do what God's called you to do. But see, this is part of a prosperous health. It's emotional health. And God bringing you to a place where your feelings are in alignment and your emotions are in alignment. But just in case, because some of you, that's where God's going afterwards. But Romans 12, 10 to 11 says this: "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord." And actually, I'm gonna jump back to verse 10. I want to read the whole thing. "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." For some of us, the emotional thing that God wants to deal with, maybe there's some of us that we're getting led everywhere by our emotions, but there's a lot of us that our emotions are dead, that our emotions are totally disconnected from our walk with God. The Bible says, be zealous. The Bible says, be compassionate. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Walk with one another. Celebrate the things God celebrates. And guys, for some of us, God wants to awaken fire and awaken life. It's time to stop being one of the frozen chosen and one of the few who just, there's no emotion in your walk with God, but actually coming into a place of passion and coming into a place of fire and coming into a place where you say, "God, I want to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strengths. You own my mind, God. I want to give it all to you. God, you own my emotions, though. I want to give it to you." What is this? We can't even worship God. We can't even, like, you're embarrassed to even raise up your hands. You're embarrassed. They say, "Shout unto God." You might have somebody shout unto God. You're like, woohoo. You know, you just, like, what is this, guys? It's where our emotions are so locked up. We're missing out on what God has for us. The Bible says you're supposed to live in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. If you are emotionally locked up and emotionally stopped up, you cannot function the way God's called you to function. So there's some of us that God says, "Hey, I want to," your emotions are leading you all over the place. It's time to line them up. And some of you, God's saying, it's time to wake up. It's time to allow me to move on your emotions. Beloved, I pray you will prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so in closing here, a prosperous soul is simply this. It's a mind that is renewed by the word of God, a will that is fully submitted to the lordship of Jesus, and emotions that are healthy and strong and in their right place. Or another verse that I could share with you to close that backs this up, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I want to encourage you, just as we bring things close, I'm going to pray for you. But God's saying, who will allow me to do a work in your soul, to do a deep work? We're talking about soul food. God's saying, some of your soul's been starving for way too long. Some of your soul has just been so beat up. He's like, I want to bring healing. I want to bring alignment. I want to change the way you think and change the way you see. See, some of us, you keep having to pray and worship and fight through bad thinking to get over the top. And God said, if you just let me change the way you think, you wouldn't even have to fight those battles anymore. And you want to say, I want to work in your mind. I want to work in your will. I want to work in your emotions. But here's the bottom line, guys. We still have to say yes. We have a choice. Do we go with God and say, okay, Lord, do this work? Or do we say, I don't know. I'll just kind of sit back and watch. Don't do that. Don't sit back and watch, but dive in. And I want to encourage you, because one reason I gave you all these scriptures, you know, we're going to have services. We've got encounters coming up. There's different ways you can plug in and you can say, God, do soul work. But the bottom line, the bread and butter, is this is where real Christianity starts. And it's not when someone else is praying for you at an altar. It's not even when a preacher is up here declaring the word of God, even those are good things. But it's when you're getting up in the morning and you're getting the word of God out and you're getting your time of prayer and you are saying, God, do a work in me. Grow up and feed yourself and say, okay, I'm thankful. I go to a restaurant every once in a while, but I am coming to a place where I'm going to the Word, and I'm getting before God, and I'm going in a place of prayer, and I'm saying, God, do this work in me, change me, transform me, work in me, God. I open my heart up to you. I open my soul up to you. Do your work in me. And that is my prayer this season, because there is so much that I want to see God prosper even more in my soul. There's so much ways I want to think indifferently. There's so many ways that I want to be more yielded to the will of the Father. There's so many ways that I want to really walk in a place where my emotions are in sync with the Holy Spirit and what He's doing. And this is my prayer in this season. God, prosper my soul so that I can walk in an even greater dimension, what you call me to. How many people would join me in that prayer today? And you would say, just by a raised hand, God, do that work in me as well too. All right, if that's your prayer, just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Yeah, give me some water. I blew my voice out between two sermons, having fun with this. And let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Guys, we're not looking for hype. We're not looking for silver spoons or quick fixes. This is real Christianity, where you are just growing in God. You're pushing after what God has for you, and you're saying, God work me. And sometimes letting God work your emotions is hard, because emotions are hard, and especially if they're not nice emotions or emotions we don't really like. Oh man, submitting our will to God is hard because we want to do it our way and we like things being our way. Changing our thinking is hard because sometimes God's going after something that you've thought that way your entire life. You've thought that way about yourself as long as you can remember, and you've had this inner conversation of tearing yourself down, and God says, stop it. That's not my word over you. Stop it. That's not what I'm saying about you. That's a lie of the enemy. But it's so hard when you believed a lie for so long to start to embrace the truth. So this is real. Like, roll up our sleeves. Let's get into this. But if you do it, you're going to see transformation. If you do it, you're going to see manifestation. And so, Father, we are just here. And I pray for every member of this church family. God, you said that you want us to prosper and to be in health even as our soul prospers. And so we just ask for you to work in this way in us in this season in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we're coining this soul food, God, we need the food of your word. We need the food of your spirit. We need the food of your presence, the bread of your presence in our life. God, because our soul needs it, and we need you to work in our mind. God, I just declare that you are shifting thinking in Jesus' name. I declare that we are renewing our mind according to your word in Jesus' name. I declare that our wills are coming into more alignment with you, that we are yielding to your spirit. And Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus, God, that our emotions, God, are coming into alignment, but are also coming alive. I'm really going after that in the spirit right now in Jesus' name. Where there's some of us who've been so emotionally disconnected, we can't even rejoice in the presence of God. We can't even be touched by the Spirit of God. There's so much that's bottled up, and we speak breakthrough in Jesus' name, that we are going to be in health in our emotions in the name of Jesus. And so we love you. We thank you for this. And I just bless each person as we go on this journey together. We are going to prosper. We are going to be in health, even as our soul prospers in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we are who you say we are, God. We have what you say we have. We can do what you say we can do because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we live by faith in him in this world in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with me today said,